beautiful song. I know that was a different rendition of the hymn, but I always think of that hymn when I hear it. The person that wrote that song, if you don't know the story of the tragedy that happened in that family that caused them to pen those words and to say, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when he said, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot has taught me to say, it is well with my soul. This writer had just lost his children, sank in a shipwreck. His wife was there, and she was the only one saved of the family. My favorite part of that verse, or that song, is when he said, my sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That's how I could say it is well with my soul. We have a good God, and we talked about this morning that everything God does is good, and everything God does is right. I think we were talking about that in Sunday school, maybe. God's always right, and God's always good. Might not always understand it, might not always agree with it, but our God is good. If we just trust in him, it is well with my soul. I said this morning I was going to preach this evening on how to have rest into your soul. How many of you would like to have rest into your soul? And I said, again, I know some young children might not say, I don't like resting. I like playing. I like going. I like doing. I don't want to take a nap. When you get a little older, and someone says, hey, would you like a rest? That's a good word. In fact, I know many people probably today, you went home, filled your belly, and then what'd you do? Took a rest. The last missionaries that were here were talking about how it was different going to that country where everybody in that country takes a rest in the middle of the day. And there's several countries that do that where they have a siesta. And then in the afternoon, after lunch, every business shuts down, every store closes for several hours, and people go home and spend time with their families. They take a rest, and then they come back to work that evening. But rest is something that we all, it's a very sought-after word most of the time. As I was studying rest, and studying what rest is, I realized there are several definitions to the word rest. And I say most of the time because one of the words of rest is being dead. May you rest in peace. So that might not be one that people are seeking after. But most of the time when you think of the word rest, that's something that you think, I want that. I desire that. And so when Christ gives this invitation, come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not an invitation that people say, nah, I don't want that. That's not an invitation that people will get turned away from. Maybe they don't turn to Christ, but that invitation is enticing. Why? Because we want that. We are heavy laden. We're in this world, and this world fills us with burdens and sorrows and the cares of this world, and we carry them through our life until we meet Christ, and Christ says, come unto me. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me that you're heavy laden. I see you struggling. Come to me. I'll give you rest. I told this morning that I was going to kind of give you the key and give you the insight, because that's something we all want, and we think we all understand what God's saying, but so many people, as they come to Christ, as they come to him, and you see someone that comes and they get saved and that excitement is in their life, and they say, man, this burden has just been lifted off my back. I've been seeking this, and now this burden's been lifted off my back, and they're excited, and they come to church, and they get faithful in church. And then maybe after a couple months, within a year, you start seeing them slacking. The church attendance starts dying off, and eventually the pew's empty week after week after week, and They are seeking something somewhere else. At first they said, I found what I've been looking for. I've gotten that burden lifted off of it. My sins, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross. And that feeling, you remember that feeling when it first happened in your life? You remember that feeling when finally those sins were gone? Nailed to the cross. I don't bear it anymore. When Christ looks at me, he looks at me as justified, forgiven. He doesn't see that anymore, and that burden is gone. But why do people then, after that great change in their life and that burden's been lifted, why do they go back? It's because they never found the rest. They didn't know what the rest was, and so instead of finding rest, they might have found turmoil in their life. And I want to explain that, why that happens, and hopefully I'll help someone this evening. You're truly seeking rest. You're truly wanting rest for your soul. You're wanting that peace. We're going to go through some definitions. I'm going to steal your chair, Brother Terry. I know we're going to need some people up here to help clear this platform, so I'm going to just get started with it. After church, we're going to need some people to clear this off because we are kind of going to be doing some construction. Everyone see this chair? I'm going to sit that chair right there, and I'm going to leave it. I'll come back to that. But we're seeking a rest, right? We're seeking that what Christ says, I'm offering to you as a gift. You come to me. What are we bringing God? We're bringing him burdens. We're bringing him the heavy burdens and that we have to him. But he's saying, I'm going to give you something if you just come to me. I'll give you rest. We read those verses here, and let's read them again in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28. And by the way, before I get into this, I do want to say congratulations to Kevin and Cassie. I know they found out the gender of their baby today. Do you want to share it with us, Brother Kevin? He says, a girl. Finally, that's what many people probably saying. Congratulations to the Merrimans. They're going to have a baby girl with a bunch of older brothers. Should be well protected. Right, boys? Congratulations to you. But Matthew chapter number 11, Bible says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So what does rest mean? That's a sought-after word, but it has many, many meanings. Most people think of rest. They say, you know, I can't wait till I get home and then rest before supper. That's what we kind of interpret rest is. That's kind of a meaning that we use that for often. I want to rest. You had a rest today after church. You whether you took a nap or just relaxed, you had a rest. And that's what we think of rest. And when we see this, it's kind of what we interpret it as. God's going to let us relax, and God's going to kind of take those burdens off of us and where we can have peace and not be laboring, not be doing these things. But that's just one definition of it. I mentioned before, rest could mean to die, the eternal rest. Rest and may he rest in peace. But also another definition of the word rest is to stop moving. An example of that is the car came to rest at the bottom of the hill. It stopped moving. It came to rest. It also can mean the leftover, what is left of something. I'm going to take two of those, and you can have the rest, right? It's the remainder. Totally different meanings. Same word, totally different meanings. To die, what's left over, or just to stop moving. Those are totally different meanings, but it's the same word. Rest means all of those things. It can also mean a piece or thing for something to rest on. For example, a footrest. That's a rest. That's a noun. In those terms, it could mean to refresh oneself by sleeping or relaxing. I'm going to lay down and rest for a few minutes. And that was the example I gave earlier about going home to rest before supper. It can mean a cessation or exertion of labor. I'm going to take a rest break. I'm not going to rest for a minute, or I'm not going to work for a minute. And this is an example of what Jesus did, or what God did in the creation. The seventh day he rested. He ceased from the creation, ceased from the work he was doing. It also can mean to be at ease, to have tranquility or peace. My mind is at rest on the matter. I have peace about it. I'm not in turmoil. I'm not being pulled one way or another. I'm at rest. My mind's at rest. It's also a musical symbol, to have a pause in the music, to have a rest in the music. And those that play music and know music, that you know that is a symbol in music, is a rest. It can mean to depend on. The whole case is resting on their testimony. It could mean to finish the introduction of evidence, and this is another court example. When you say the defense rests, I finished the introduction of evidence. The defense rests. So you see, the word rest has many, many different meanings. So to truly get what God's saying, you got to understand the meaning of what God was saying. He's saying, "I will give you rest," and we all understand that is to have that peace and to have that the turmoil being taken from us that we get from the labor and that being heavy laden. Jesus says, "I have that rest for you. Come unto me and I'll give it to you. I have this rest unto your soul." But I think of how many Christians, not just talking about people who aren't saved, but how many Christians truly don't ever experience that rest. They might have that excitement when they get saved, and again, the burdens have been lifted. That's totally different. That's a different feeling, a different example when I'm giving you. The burdens are lifted. Thank God for that. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Thank God for that. But God also says, not only would I take those burdens and take that sin and nail it to the cross, but I have a rest unto your soul. And so many Christians never experienced that rest. And that excitement and the joy they had from getting saved and having those burdens lifted start waning as they get these burdens back in their life, and they never get the rest and the turmoil inside their heart as the old man and the new man is fighting with each other and all the things that happen inside your life, and you know about it, that have been saved for a while, but maybe to a new Christian, they don't understand. And then there's a turmoil and they get the opposite of rest. They go to do a sin that they've always enjoyed doing, and that Holy Spirit in their heart grips their heart and says, "Ooh, don't do that." And they say, "I've never felt like that before. I used to enjoy doing this." You got the Holy Spirit of God living inside you now. You're a child of God now. He's not going to let you do that. And the Holy Spirit tries to lead you, and they're like, "Ooh, this is the opposite of what I thought. I thought I was going to get peace, and I thought God was going to give me rest." But yet you get turmoil, confusion. So many people will walk out those doors confused, turmoiled, and say, "This isn't what I thought it was. This isn't what I thought I was signing up for." Thank God their sins are forgiven. If they've truly been saved, their sins are forgiven. But they'll live the rest of their life never experiencing that rest. And that might be you. If you don't truly understand, I want you to listen to me this evening and try to get what I'm trying to say. What is God telling us? How is he going to give us rest? We're going to look at some of the wording here that might not make sense if you're not thinking of it right. You got to see what God's saying. Hold your place there in Matthew. I was studying the Hebrews. And Hebrews gives us talks about this rest. And in the book of Hebrews chapter number 4, this rest in many cases is speaking about heaven. The rest that God's going to give us at the end of life. But it's interesting, as I was studying this and I was looking over this, it mentions rest several times here in Hebrews chapter number 4. But it's even, if you look them up in a concordance, it's even different meanings. even in just this one chapter. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 1, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." He talks about his rest there, as you see there in verse number 1. He says, entering into his rest. He also, in verse number 3, he also says, there about the middle of the verse, "As I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest." In verse number 5, he says, and in this place again, "If they shall enter into my rest." In verse number 10, he says, "For he that is entered into his rest." And in verse number 11, it says, "Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest." And verse number, back up to verse number 8, the Bible says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" Verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." So this rest here, we read in this chapter several times where the Bible mentions about his rest, that rest, "There remaineth a rest to the people of God." Three different meanings. In fact, in verse number 9, the Bible says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." That rest there is the only time that particular word is used in the whole Bible. One time, if you look it up in the concordance, one time that word is used in the Bible. And that means the blessed rest from toils and troubles looked for in the age to come by the true worshipers of God and true Christians. So the word rest there, you can see that it's different meanings, different things God's saying. Now, again, some of it's talking about the rest of God, that he has heaven for us, and that rest that we look for, that the age to come, the rest he has. But there's different rest. So what is God saying? We have to understand what rest is. And so I mentioned in my definitions of rest, one of them is to stop moving, right? The example I gave was the car came to rest at the bottom of the hill. So that car is not moving, right? It's not moving. I set this chair here earlier in the service. I set this chair here and said, I'm going to leave it there. So that chair hasn't moved since I set it there, has it? So if we took a vote to say, is that chair at rest because it's not moving? Who believes that chair is at rest, it's not moving? Raise your hand. We all see it, right? It's not moving. But in reality, let me give you a science lesson here. Let's open up and see what is actually going on. When we say, hey, this chair's not moving, this chair is actually moving a lot faster than you're thinking. How in the world's that? Well, you know, we live on this big old ball called the Earth, right? Now, how many of you know how big the Earth is around? Anyone other than my dad? He's a pretty smart man. Anyone know how big it is in the circumference of the Earth? If you were to travel, go around the equator of the Earth and travel all the way around the world, if you can get a road to do that, you know how many miles it would take? Pretty close to 25,000. I got 24,898 miles. You're a couple miles off. 24,898 miles around the Earth. It's pretty big. How long does it take to spin around one time? 24 hours, right? So if this Earth is over 24,000 miles around and it takes 24 hours to spin around, you know what? If you're on the equator, you know how fast you'd be moving? Over 1,000 miles an hour. Hopefully, no one in here has gotten a car and tried to go 1,000 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour is pushing it. You don't want to do that. But if you're going 1,000 miles an hour, you'd be booking it, right? So if you were to try to travel east to try to keep up with the sun, is that right? East or west? East. Try to keep up with the sun. You'd have to travel over 1,000 miles an hour to not move. This chair's not doing that. It's moving. This Earth that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour is going around is also traveling. I was only spinning 1,000 miles an hour. It's also traveling around our sun. That earth that's traveling around the sun in a loop around the sun that is 584 million miles. That's how far the earth travels in a year. 584 million miles in a year. So to do that, it has to travel at 67,000 miles an hour. This ball we're on is moving. Now, you do this study, and you think, well, it doesn't feel like we're at rest. You're sitting there in your chair, but you're on a ball that's spinning 1,000 miles an hour that's traveling 67,000 miles an hour in a revolution around our sun. Did you all realize that? That this is how fast we're moving around this earth. I mean, around this sun. That's 1.6 million miles a day. The sun is part of our solar system, and that's moving through our galaxy. It's estimated that our whole solar system is moving through our galaxy at 448,000 miles per hour. And at the Milky Way itself, our galaxy is traveling about 70 miles per second. I think we're booking it. We're moving quite a bit as we're just sitting here. But how could we say we're being at rest if we're moving 1,000 miles and spinning around 1,000 miles an hour, moving 67,000 miles per hour, 448,000 miles per hour? How could we say we're at rest? Because to the earth, we're at rest in our relationship to this earth, right? We don't feel all this because we're at rest with our relationship to earth. Let's look back at our verses here in Matthew chapter number 11. And we'll get why some people never experience that rest. Because they think rest is really just, maybe I should do it here since y'all could see me here. We think this is rest. All right, God, you got it. He said, come to me and I can rest. Y'all, some of y'all know your children are like that, right? You come in there and there's work to be done. You're trying to clean their room and they're in there. I need a vacuum. Right? You know what it's like when someone that needs to be moving and working rests. What does the Bible say here in verse number 29? He says at the end of verse 28, I will give you rest. And the very next things God says in verse 29 is, take my yoke upon you. That's not what we think rest is. Who knows what a yoke is? It's the yellow part of an egg, right? No. I don't want to take that on me. That's not what God's saying. What's a yoke? What is a yoke used for? It's for work. And it's not just for one. Normally a yoke is two. Right? So what is God saying? God's saying there's something to do, and I'm going to yoke up with you. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Hudson, come here. I want to use this young man here for an example. We're going to yoke up. He's my buddy. He was in my Sunday school class last year. He's a Bible verse learner. And Hudson here. Hudson, you ready to yoke up? Let's get to work. So I don't have a yoke, and I'm not going to bring an old yoke, but this is going to be our yoke, right? It keeps us together. And the thing with a yoke that happens is as they work, the work is works together, right? So we're gonna work. All right, let's go. Is it heavy for you? No. Going pretty easy, right? And the relationship that me and Hudson can have as we work, we can fellowship, We can talk. We can enjoy one another. He can have rest because I'm in the yoke also. But the moment Hudson says, I want to go up to the choir loft, Hudson. Got it? Going up to the choir loft. Going up. Go to the choir loft. Come on, Hudson, go to the choir loft. Go to the choir loft. You're not going to the choir loft, Hudson. That's not as enjoyable. How about you want to take a break, Hudson? You really want to have rest? Have a seat. Come on, Hudson. Have a seat. We got work to do, Hudson. What are you doing? And that's what so many people face in the Christian life. God's trying to walk with you. God's saying, take my yoke upon you. And God's carrying that load. And load, pick up that songbook right there. Hudson, yeah, pick it up. Hudson's picking up burdens. And God says, I'll carry that for you. There's another one. God says, I'll carry that for you. And as he walks with God, that burden's not too hard. Why? Because he's walking with God. Just as that chair is moving with the earth in unison, it looks like it's at rest. As you walk with God and you move with God, in unison with God, you get rest. The moment you say, I need to stop. The moment you say, I want to do this instead. The moment you say, God, I don't want to do that. That's when you lose that rest. Because now you're in the yoke with God, but yet you're fighting him. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Amos 3:3. We've seen we can. Hudson's trying to pull me up to the choir loft. He's trying to pull me up to the choir loft, and I'm saying, no, I'm going this way, Hudson. Thank you, Hudson. And so many people live their life. The burden's been lifted. I can finally get rest. And you think the Christian life is, oh, it's going to be good from here on out because this is what I'm going to do. And God says, take my yoke. What? A yoke? A burden? That's not what I signed up for. That's not what I thought this was. But God's saying, it's my yoke. It's my burden. It's easy and it's light. Just learn of me. Walk with me. Go my way. Let me lead you. And you don't have to worry about those burdens. Let me lead you. And you don't have to worry about the heavy weight of the yoke because my yoke is light. But yet we try to do something else. We try to pull, we try to go a different direction. And we don't understand that that chair is only at rest because it is moving in perfect unison with the earth. It's moving. But it's only at rest because it's moving with the earth. If that chair was to truly stop moving, I better watch out the way because it's going to go flying by me at over 1,000 miles an hour. It's not going to be at rest. It's going to do some damage on the way. Damage to itself, to anyone in its way, because it's saying, I'm not going to move. That's what I think rest is. God's saying, no. Rest is taking my yoke. Rest is taking my burden. That's when you'll get the rest for your soul. That's when you can truly find the rest that I will give you. And he's trying to teach us that. In a Christian life, those are the happiest people in our churches are the ones that are walking with God. That have put on the yoke of God and they're serving, walking step by step in sync with our Heavenly Father. Those are the ones that have peace in their life. Oh, the world all around them may be crumbling. They may have gotten bad news from the doctor. They may have gotten bad news from the employer. They may have gotten bad news from all these other things, and you think, how can they be so happy? They're at rest. They're at peace. They're yoked up with God, and they're walking hand in hand, walking with God. That fellowship they can have is they could sit there and talk, and every burden that comes on their life, Jesus is saying, I'll help carry that. I'll help carry that burden. That bad news you just got from the doctor, I'll help carry that. That pink slip that you just got from your boss, I'll help carry that. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Just walk with me. Just walk with me. And that rest is available to all of us. The invitation is there. But you've got to understand what God's saying. He's not saying, come to me, give me your burdens, and then have a seat. That's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying at all. Come to me, give me your burdens, and don't you have to worry about working another day in your life. That's not what he's saying. He said, take my yoke. You come to me, give me your burdens, then take my yoke. Get to work. God has a job for all of us to do. And you'll have that turmoil in your heart if you're not doing it, if you're not even seeking it, if you don't know the purpose God has for your life, you won't have that rest. How are you going to know it? Yoke up with him. Follow his lead as he directs you. As he leads you along and you just in sync, walk with God and say, yes, sir. Let's go this way. Yes, sir. Hudson was wanting to go up to the choir loft, but I said, let's go this way. It's better to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. How about go back to Alabama, start a church? Yes, sir. Maybe someone in here, God's saying, hey, I need you to go to wherever it may be. I need you to go and preach the gospel. I need you to go to start a church, to be a missionary. Oh, but God, I want to sing in a choir. But God, I want to stay here and do this. How much rest are you going to be when you're yoked up with God and he's pulling one way and you're pulling another? Well, this is good work. And God says, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? We know the answer to that, right? No. And if you're not walking with God, how much rest do you think you'll have? Know what God's will is for your life. Surrender to the God's will for your life. Take God's yoke. Learn of him. And you'll find rest. Might not be what you're expecting to hear when I said, I'll tell you how you can truly get rest for your soul. But it's the word of God. You want rest? You want that peace that comes from God? It only comes from working with God, not from sitting down. Because, as I said, this chair is only at rest because it is in perfect sync with the movement of the earth. There was an example of a a study that was done of a bucket of water. Same principle. This bucket, they took this bucket, extended it from a string or a rope. They twisted that rope up, which gave it this potential energy. And that rope, they filled it full of water, and they let that water settle. So the bucket, the water, were both not moving. Became at rest, calm. Then they released the bucket, and the rope that was spun, the energy that was wound up in that rope started spinning that bucket. When that bucket first started spinning, the water inside, which was calm and still, wasn't spinning. But the friction of the bucket spinning caused that water to be tumultuous, or I can't think of a good word for it, but it started getting troubled. The water started splashing, started splashing around as that bucket was spinning. But the water was still. But the bucket was moving and the water didn't. As the bucket kept spinning, the water, because of the friction, eventually started spinning with the bucket. It started getting faster and faster, and then eventually when the speed of the water matched the speed of the bucket, the water started smoothing out. And we know through centrifugal force or whatever, the force of the water was pushed closer to the sides of the bucket, but it was at peace. It was calm as it spun and sinked together. But it was only when the water decided to match up with the bucket that was moving. When neither was moving, they were at calm. When the bucket moved and the water didn't, it wasn't calm. But when the water decided to match up with the bucket, the calm came back. It's what I'm teaching you. It's what I was explaining. It's just another example. You never find peace when God's trying to move you and you're trying to stay still. If you're a child of God, if you're not a child of God, as I preach this morning, don't turn away. Don't walk out of here. Don't say tomorrow. You're not promised that. No man cometh to the Father or cometh unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. I emphasize that. No man. You can't decide on your own when you're coming to God. It's only when he draws you. But if you're a child of God, he wants to move you. He wants to work you. He wants to use you for his ministry, for his work. And he's saying, take my yoke. Take my yoke. Learn of me. And that's who we need to understand when he's saying, take a yoke. He's not saying, look, yoke up with someone else. He's saying, take his yoke. Yoke up with him. Burden's going to be light. Yoke is going to be easy. And you'll find rest. Do you want rest? You want rest into your soul? Well, you got to get in the yoke. And you got to follow God. Say, yes, sir. Do whatever you want. Whatever you say. He's worthy. God can't ask something too much of you. It says our bodies, presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice is just a reasonable service. God deserves so much more. He deserves our everything. It's for God to ask you to work on the bus ministry, or God to ask you to teach in a Sunday school class, or God to ask you to be a missionary, or whatever God is asking you to do. You'll never have rest until you say, yes, I'll follow your lead. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do, because God, you're worthy. You know what's best for my life. Lead me, and I'll follow. Well, it's easy to sing the song. It's easy to say the words, where he leads me, I will follow. It's easy to say it. But you'll know the people that are doing it, because they're the ones that are at peace. They're the ones you can see, oh, they got the rest of God in their life. They're doing what God wants. If there's someone who's always fighting, someone who's always in turmoil, someone who's always, everything's going wrong in their life, and it's troubling them, and they don't know what to do, and they're always in turmoil, you know, it's because they're not in the yoke with God. And God's saying, come, come. It's open to you. Come to God. Get in his yoke. And when those troubles and turmoils come in your life, God's saying, I'll take that. My burden's light. My yoke is easy. You can find rest into your soul. Let's all stand.